Well, everybody called it the red bluff. If you go out and talk to some elders older than me, they told me they know red bluff. Yeah, they know all about red bluff. Some of this area was also called Hungry Hill. And I believe that Hungry Hill was a name that was given to parts of our area because once you cross Springdale and Airport, you see a lot of hills. And I think it's because this neighborhood was one of the poorest neighborhoods in Austin. And so I believe that it was given that name because of the people that lived here and the struggle that they went through. My name is Pete Rivera. The first time that I came to Red Bluff was when I was about 11 or 12 years old. During that time, me and my brother would have little rubber shooters, and we would make bow and arrows out of some of the sticks and stuff that grew in our backyards, and we would just wander into the woods, and somehow we ended up here. Fort Branch Creek is the one that runs right below Red Bluff. We would find rocks, like fossils, in the creek. Sometimes we'll catch some fish. We wouldn't actually eat them. We would just kind of catch them just for fun. And one time we caught a water moccasin, and it was really scary because we were kind of really young, and they were just kind of splashing all over the place, and we just cut the string and let them loose. We often saw roadrunners, coyotes, and bobcats. And sometimes we would see hawks and eagles fly by. Tires, sofas, carpet, paint, not just empty paint cans, but paint cans that were busted open with paint inside of them. Gallons and gallons of used oil that was put back into the containers where people would be making oil changes, and they were just dumped like 4 feet high. People would just drive in, dump their stuff, and then leave. I used to have dreams when I was in the early 60s. I would go to sleep and I kept on trying to relax, but I kept on, you know, waking up and concentrating about things that were not happening in our neighborhood that needed to be taken care of. Back in 2015, I saw the same trash that I had seen years and years ago, and I thought that it was very unfortunate that nobody was doing nothing about it. I used to think back when I would wake up and I would say, wow, man, you know, I can't believe that I'm still thinking about this over and over, and that I want to do something, but if I do it, it's going to take a while to accomplish it. And am I willing to spend that much time to do it? Am I capable of doing it? Will I be nervous? Will I get emotional? Would I accomplish it at all? Or whose land does it really belong to? And I kept on thinking, I don't know, you know, I don't know. But I know that one thing is that I need to get it started, and I need to start somewhere. And I figured that, just like other things in life that I have done and accomplished, is that you have to start somewhere, you know, if you have some goal that you want to reach. And then once you start, it kind of tells you itself what to do next and what door to go knock on. And that's what happened in this case here at Red Bluff. I started a neighborhood association, and I wanted to have like a platform that I could work off of. This was something that we just didn't do by ourselves, me and my brothers and our neighborhood association. You know, to be able to get the things that we wanted to get done. So actually we had a lot of help. Yeah, we were doing power mapping. It was a term that I had learned while working with the ATX Environmental Justice Group, is that reaching out to people who are in power within the city departments and the city council, and bringing them out here and showing them what we were trying to do so they can really feel what we were feeling. So when we first started trying to get this place preserved, we didn't actually know who owned the land. And so it was surprising to us to know, and I felt kind of glad that it didn't belong to any specific owner, but that it belonged to three different city departments. And some of them didn't even know that they owned the properties that were up here. And so they were surprised to find out that, yeah, they had some pieces of land that they were responsible for and didn't even know what was happening up here. We were glad when we found out that they were all happy to release the land and have it turned over to the people of Austin as a nature preserve. And so we finally got a resolution passed after going to lots of meetings at the city council and at the environmental commission. We got the nature preserve saved and dedicated as a nature preserve in 2019. The men came dressed up in these white suits, and they brought trailers, and they put stuff in barrels and sealed them and hauled them all away. It was like a breath of fresh air to walk through the trail and just see it all gone. It was emotional because we could hear the birds chirping. They were happy. Well, in the future, I would like for it to be a place where everyone and anyone could enjoy this place, a place where people can connect, and that parks and recreation would continue the process that they're working on now of doing a master plan and connect us all to where we can get from one neighborhood to the other. I would like for it to be safe as well. I think we need to make it safer, open up the spaces and clear out some of the trees and stuff. And I know that Parks and Recreation has been working on that right now and have plans for doing some improvement. There was something that we needed to add to the nature preserve to be able to make it more usable and more accessible for more people to be able to get out here by making part of it as a park. So a place where children can come with the parents and be able to enjoy and be able to sit down in a picnic table and be able to have like a family gatherings, and then they could wander through the rest of the nature preserve and just explore like we did when we were kids, and a place where I can bring my grandkids as well.